Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please sit back, relax, and leave the driving to us. This is Wretched Radio. We have a creepy Greyhound bus driver. I don't know if you've been on Greyhound for a while. I like Greyhound. I liked it a lot. You get lots of leg room. And for somebody freakishly tall like myself, that's a big deal. All you do is just sit there and you let the ride proceed as you, well, you probably nap. You probably cling to your purse. And you just enjoy the scenery. Let's do that, courtesy of Road Trip to Truth Season 2. No doubt, if you've listened to this program more than once, which the last time we counted the number of people that have done that, well, we haven't even broken into single digits yet. But Road Trip to Truth Season 1 has been out for a year. It has been really well received. It has been shown on networks around the world. If you're a gospel partner, that should just thrill you. Road Trip to Truth Season 1, which always, always, always defends, you know, the truth and preaches the gospel so well in every episode. It's airing everywhere around the globe. Thanks to our gospel partners. Be encouraged with that blast of news. Season 2 has just been offered to the networks, and we have already had a better response from networks for Season 2 than we did for Season 1. That means it's gaining traction to boot, and we're thrilled to pieces for the networks that are willing to air it. I would like to share some of it with you to let you just sit back, relax, and maybe, just maybe, rather than focusing on all of the detours ahead, all of the danger signs, all of the construction, Friel, we get the driving illustration point. Maybe just be encouraged. Maybe focus more regularly on this than the carking cares that can so distract us from the important things. Perhaps you're familiar with Milton Vincent. He's a pastor in Riverside, California, and he is a shepherd deluxe. You perhaps know his name from the Gospel Primer, which is a book on justification and how you can think about it every single day. That, by the way, is also available at wretched.org. Season 2 will be available October 1st. Would like to share with you the gospel episode. That's right. We dedicated an episode to the gospel, and we enlisted Milton Vincent to talk deeply about what it is. And maybe, just maybe, you need to hear this today, because the world certainly has become demanding, hasn't it? It's almost like you're a homeschool family, so you've got about 17 kids under the age of 5. And they all just want your attention now. Now, 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 now. Look at me. Look at me. Give me attention. Give me attention. And aren't things vying for our attention these days? Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. Drink in the gospel and leave the driving to John Fabares. You're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear Milton Vincent's voice. And you're going to hear the voices of students who most certainly need to hear this.
Would you do a thought experiment with me? Imagine your phone rings. You look at the caller ID, and you know you're not going to take the call because it's a bill collector. You're in debt, and the wolves are at the door. They're going to take everything you own to pay what you owe. Your phone rings again. The caller ID says lottery. Even though you don't remember buying a ticket, your curiosity makes you answer the phone. Jackpot! You just won the big lottery. $50 million is yours. How would you feel? Here's another thought experiment. The doctor shows you the x-rays. The shadow makes it clear you don't have long to live. You go home and prepare to meet your maker. Your time with your loved ones is short and you have to get your affairs in order. Your phone rings. It's the doctor. He informs you that he showed you the wrong x-rays. You're perfectly healthy and are expected to live a long, happy life. How would you feel? Now, one last thought experiment. What if I told you a story that offered you something better than millions of dollars and a clean bill of health? What if I shared something with you that you could get in on that's better than fame, fortune, a fabulous lifestyle, perfect looks, a great body, or anything else you currently think would be the most enjoyable thing in the world?
What if I told you a story that would cause you to say, that's just too good to be true, but I could prove to you it's not? The story you're about to hear is real.
You ever heard the word gospel?
Yeah.
In your own words, could you explain what you think that means?
Ooh. Yikes. Christianity, to me, my own definition, Christianity is just like believing that Jesus is our savior and stuff like that. Yeah.
The gospel, like the Christian gospel, I wouldn't really know how to answer that. Like, I would just say, usually when people ask what the gospel is, I say the Bible.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's all I have.
Do you think that could be the best thing in the world?
To a certain extent.
I mean, it's all to perspective.
To help us fully grasp the gravity of the gospel, we sought out Milton Vincent.
Woo-hoo.
Milt is an author, former professor of Hebrew, and he has his master's degree from the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles.
Do you think most people have any idea how amazing the gospel actually is?
Absolutely not. And unfortunately, many Christians don't understand how amazing the gospel is. They think that the gospel is simply that Christ died, he was buried, he was raised so that they can be delivered from hell. And it is that, but it is also so much more. Most professing Christians, they know just enough of the gospel to get inside the door of the kingdom, but they know almost nothing about the unsearchable riches of Christ. The gospel is way bigger and far more amazing than and many Christians know.
Do you believe in, like, heaven and hell?
Yeah, I do.
I don't really know.
I just haven't done, like, enough reading or, like, studying about it to know enough about it.
Could you explain to us what is amazing about the gospel?
Imagine over 2,000 years ago, somebody saying to God, we have sinned, we've broken the letter and the spirit of every one of your Ten Commandments, and we deserve your wrath in the lake of fire forever, but could you send the second member of the Trinity to earth and take on human flesh and have him live the life that we failed to live, a perfectly righteous life? And then could you have him die on a cross and take your judgment and wrath upon himself that we deserve for our sins?
Graphic. You'll have to get the video.
And then could you have him be raised from the dead, thereby undoing the death that he died so that he would live forever? And then when we come to Jesus, could you, through his shed blood at the cross, forgive us of all of our sins, past, present, and future? And then could you take the righteousness of your son and have that credited to us as if we did all of the righteous things that he did?
Graphic. You'll have to get the video. Wretched.org. Oh, another graphic.
And then could you, upon us believing in your Son, give us your Holy Spirit who can dwell inside of us and empower us to live righteously? And could you adopt us as your children and allow us the privilege of relating to you as children would their father? And could you prepare a home for us to live in for eternity with you in heaven? Who would have thought to pray such a prayer? And that's just some of the things that God has provided for us in the gospel. In the gospel, God didn't just do what we asked. He did exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we would have asked or even imagined. That's how amazing the gospel is.
And that's just the tip of the gospel iceberg. Nobody would have had the audacity to pray what God actually did. Nobody would have thought of it. Hey, make sure that you crush your only son for me. Yeah, yeah. No, we want you to crush the second person of the Trinity. Make it the most brutal death imaginable. And then give me the credit for it. Yeah, then wipe my slate clean. Oh, yeah. And give me all of his righteousness to boot. Would you do that, God? Nobody would have thought of it. But God did. And that is why the gospel of Jesus Christ is amazing. And perhaps your tour on Greyhound has you looking at all kinds of scenery, but it looks more like Beirut than it does paradise. We need to be aware of what is going on in our world, most certainly. But I would ask you, have you been taking the time lately to drink in the glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Road Trip to Truth, Season 2, October 1st, will continue with Milton Vincent and the wonderful, amazing gospel next on Wretched Radio. Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we're grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, comments, questions, conundrums, and even the snarks. You can contact us a couple of different ways. First, you can send an email at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave a beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. However you decide to reach out to us, know that we are always looking forward to hearing from you. Just like this recent email we received from, we'll say anonymous, who says, "Salutations, Mr. Friel. Just finished reading your booklet, Slaying the Lust Dragon, and praise be to God, it's phenomenal. I've recently been struggling against lust after a long period of victory and a relatively recent breakup. Your message was both incredibly convicting and impactful. I can't thank our great God and you enough for this resource." So send us those wretched stories, questions, comments, conundrums, and even the snarks to idea@wretched.org or 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd sit back and relax and just enjoy the flight, we'll be pointing out some of the scenery. I expect a pretty smooth ride today. This is Wretched Radio. I just thought I would change the transportation.
That's what I was going to
introduction. From Greyhound buses to airplanes, just sit back. Make sure you got your mask on, of course. Sit back and relax and enjoy the ride as Milton Vincent on Road Trip to Truth Season 2 helps us to see the gospel as the beautiful thing it is and worthy of considering every single day. You can find Road Trip to Truth Season 2 at wretched.org. John Fabares is the host. We talk to students. And our expert for this particular episode of Season 2 is Milton Vincent.
In John 3:36, Jesus says, "He who believes in the Son has, present tense, eternal life." That's a thrilling truth, because for someone who's believed in Jesus, we're not waiting to receive eternal life. We actually have it inside of us right now. And it begins right at the moment of conversion.
You know what the benefits of being a Christian are?
Eternal life and all that stuff. I really don't know.
But you could take it both ways, right? The benefits here and now or the benefits forever. Can you think of any benefits?
If I believe in Jesus, do I just get my sins forgiven?
No. In fact, there's a whole number of other things that happen at the moment of conversion. Not only does God forgive the repentant sinner of all of his sins, but then he takes the righteousness of Christ and credits that righteousness to the sinner's account.
Biggest benefit, just having that constant faith and knowing that you're never alone.
In addition to that, God adopts the repentant sinner into his family. That person can now call God his father and relate to him the way a child would a father. And God gives him the gift of the Holy Spirit, who now indwells him. The Spirit now illumines the penitent sinner to understand the Word of God, to illumine his mind, to understand the depths and the riches of the gospel.
You have something to look forward to after you die. You're going to go to heaven and, you know, have this amazing afterlife.
The believer also instantly receives eternal glory in heaven, an inheritance that is now waiting for him. When he dies, he will enter into glory with Christ and live in the place that Jesus has prepared for him. So yes, they get their sins forgiven, but then they just receive this infinite abundance that is beyond all that they would have asked or thought.
Who do you think, like, the most amazing person in the world is, and why?
The most amazing person in the world is nobody. Nobody is the most amazing person in the world. Nobody's perfect.
Well, I want to choose someone that I, like, know personally, and I think just out of everybody in my life, it would be my mom.
I'm going to run through a quick list. If a person was willing to do this for you, the question at the end is, do you think they might be the most amazing person in the world? So if a person was willing to give you forgiveness for everything you've done wrong, eternal life in heaven, purpose in life, hope, peace, and millions of people who actually love and have a genuine care and empathy for you, if a person was going to give you all that, what would you think of that person?
I'd aspire to be them.
But do you think that person might be the most amazing person in the world?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I'm going to read a list to you, and I want you to tell me if a person who believes in Jesus Christ gets these things. First one, joy.
Yes.
Purpose.
Absolutely. All of us do, upon conversion, receive a calling from the Lord. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that becomes our job, living lives of good deeds to glorify God and bring the blessings of Christ to others.
Tons of money.
No.
Okay. Humility.
Yes. Hopefully.
Genuine love for people.
Yes.
A new family.
Yes. In terms of a spiritual family of brothers and sisters and spiritual mothers and father in the Church of Jesus Christ.
What about power?
Absolutely. Power for godly living. Power to live and walk in freedom from sin. Power to serve others. Power to share Christ with the lost in the power of the Holy Spirit.
perspective.
Before conversion, we were citizens in the kingdom of Satan, and our whole orientation was colored by that. But now we're brought into a whole new reality in Christ. In fact, I would say that sanctification is simply the art of us adjusting to our new reality and having a more and more richly informed perspective of who we are and what life is to be like in Christ.
New heart?
Yes, instantly.
Relief?
Yes, relief from the fear of God's judgment. I think of Amazing Grace, where John Newton says, "'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." And boy, the believer on the other side of his encounter with Christ at the foot of the cross on the day of his conversion experiences immeasurable relief.
Hope?
Yes, we're given a hope right at the moment of salvation. We exult in hope of the glory of God. So we have much to look forward to on the road ahead as we walk with Christ and then on into eternity.
That list barely started. That doesn't even get close to everything that is provided for us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes on and on and on.
If you died and were transported to heaven, what do you think God would be like?
I guess whatever you imagined him to be.
Ooh, that's a deep one.
Really gentle, but also like this powerful being.
What do you think he would say to you?
Yikes.
This is where you screwed up, but that's fine. I mean, you're still here, but I want you to know your wrongdoings and all that stuff. And I feel like he would do that.
Saying like, I love you, like I'll always be there for you, stuff like that.
What is God like?
He is a being that is not to be trifled with. God is a consuming fire. The writer of Hebrews tells us that it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So God is infinite in all of his perfections. He is infinitely righteous and holy and just in all of his ways. He is a being that we should respond to with fear. Like Solomon says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And you know, the same is true of Christ. John saw the glorified Christ and he was shaken to his core by what he saw. He said his face was like the sun shining in its full strength. So imagine the sun at high noon. You can't even stare at the sun. And that's what the face of Jesus was like. And he said his voice sounded like many waters, so like the roaring ocean crashing against the rocks. And out of his mouth came a sharp sword that can cut in both directions. And then his eyes dropped to Jesus' feet and says his feet were glowing like bronze that is heated in the furnace. So even Jesus' feet weren't safe. So John responded to this sight of Jesus by falling at his feet like a dead man. Like, my life is over. The next thing that happened is Jesus placed his right hand on John and said, "Don't be afraid. I was the one who was dead and now I'm alive." Christ died for John's sins so that John did not have to die in that moment as Christ showed his grace to him. So God is a being of infinite righteousness, holiness, and justice, and also grace and compassion, tender mercies, and love toward sinners.
The Bible describes Jesus as an advocate, someone who's able to be on your side, someone who made it possible for you to know God and not be consumed. Did you know that?
Do you think God is for you in general, or is God against you?
I'd say for you for sure.
I mean, why would he not be for me?
I think God is going to be for me. If I change up what I'm doing, ask for forgiveness and stuff like that.
Why do you think God is for you?
Why would it be any other way, you know? Why am I creating all of this to not be for all of this?
I can't think of it any other way. I don't know why he'd be against me. And even if he was, I mean, then so be it.
Is God for us or against us?
According to the teaching of the New Testament, God is absolutely for the believer, for all those who are genuine children of God. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So as long as God is for us, and he is, it doesn't matter if everyone else is against us. God being for us overwhelms all of that and will triumph over that. But I'll have to say that for those who don't know Christ and have not experienced the forgiveness of their sins through Jesus, the teaching of the Bible is that God is against them. And if God is against you, it doesn't matter who else is for you. The most important thing that you have to reckon with is the fact that God is against you.
That is something to remember. Perhaps in the balance you just heard, John Fabares asked Milton Vincent, what is God like? And he probably spent 2 minutes talking about the righteousness, the holiness, the wrath of God. And then he gets to, oh yeah, but Jesus said, don't be afraid because I'm for you now. And that's perhaps the balance that we need to find when we do share about who God is, which is a very good starting place in a witness encounter. That was from Road Trip to Truth Season 2. October 1st is the launch date. It has a study guide. I wonder how many adult Sunday schools and youth groups might benefit from this. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, California Emperor Gavin Newsom signed new legislation last week that forces insurance companies to conceal abortions, puberty blockers, and cross-sex hormone medical services received by minors from their parents. The law prohibits insurance companies from receiving prior authorization for what they call sensitive services from the policyholding parent and further requires the insurance company to direct all communications about the service to the child. I mean, take the medical part out of its entire thing. I think we all would agree how asinine this is. But the other side of the equation has children making insurance-related decisions. That's almost as genius as giving a toddler a driver's license. I mean, I honestly didn't understand medical insurance stuff until I had my second child. There are words for decisions like this. Well, a school district in Colorado recently passed a resolution that would ban the teaching of CRT and established a committee to review all school curriculum and remove embedded lessons. That's some pretty good news for sensible people. But some not-so-sensible people were a little bit upset by the move. Two school board members resigned over their displeasure with the resolution, with one saying that the board was digging its own hole, and the other resigning member said he just could not handle having discussions with people not as intelligent as he, because he's a scientist and needs to have discussions with intellectuals, so he resigned. I wonder what kind of scientist he is. The article doesn't really specify, but apparently he's the smartly kind. Last Friday, the most radical pro-abortion bill in the history of our country was passed by the House of Representatives, led by the queen of baby murder support, Nancy Pelosi. The bill is being deceptively called the Women's Health Protection Act. I guess unless the female is an unborn baby, then they're not protected, because the bill seeks to legalize abortion up to birth with zero restrictions. It passed the House 218 to 211, and if it passes the Senate, it will erase all restrictions on abortion and prevent states from passing even modest protections for the unborn. Parental consent and informed consent laws will vanish, and protections like the Hyde Amendment will be eliminated. It appears, however, that the bill will be voted down by the Senate, as some pro-abortion senators have said it's too radical even for them. Let's all pray this bill does not become law. Worldwide, Christian persecution seems to be dominating the news this year. Recently in Pakistan, the Lahore High Court granted custody of a 14-year-old kidnapped Christian girl to the man who kidnapped her and forced her to marry him and convert to Islam. As we tell you all the time, seemingly daily here at Wretched, please make sure that you're praying for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 1910 to 1915. The Fundamentals are published and demonstrate the great divide in American Christianity, known as the Modernist Fundamentalist Controversy. Fundamentalists began to set themselves apart from society as a witness for Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. And lots of it. Wretched Radio. Let's travel the globe taking a look at the church, shall we? Persecution Watchdog documents over 100 incidents of China's crackdown on Christians in a year. And I suspect there were more that weren't reported. But a reminder, what is going on in China ain't pretty for our brothers and sisters. Not only were churches shut down or demolished, pastors and church attendees were often arrested. Jimmy, during the course of an average week when you report the news, how many times do you say, please remember to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters?
Almost daily.
Yeah. It's just, it's perpetual.
Yes.
And I know that we're looking at some new challenges in our neck of the woods, but we've got to take a look by degrees and say, oh, we've got some Christians that are being shellacked right now. Please spend some time. Maybe this will help you. Dad, if you're leading, let's say, the table prayers, do you find yourself going, well, how am I supposed to phrase it this time? Without it turning into, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be blessed. Tidy, quick, rote, next, let's eat. How do you pray and thank God for food every time? Well, you can alter that as much as you care to or not. But we could ask other things, perhaps, when we're praying as a family. We thank you for this food and thank you for providing it. We pray for those brothers and sisters right now who are starving, who are emaciated because they believe in you. Would you please, please fill up their stomachs so that they can live and serve you? Amen. Then let's be praying. There's something you could pray for, which inspires another prayer idea. All right, before you bow your head to pray, what else is going on in the church? Yeah, you can pray for the world if you want. You can pray for kings and those in authority. That's fine. We're commanded to do that. But there's a lot of other things that we could be praying for. Who's sick in your church? Who's struggling in your local body? What are the issues that you might be dealing with in your family? Be careful, though, to not turn the prayer into a bit of a sermon. And, Lord, I just want to ask that you'd help little Jimmy work on his lust problem. Okay, hold on. Wait a second.
Did you have to use that name?
Wait, I couldn't think of any other. I looked at your face and I went, it just seems so appropriate. Yeah. Little Billy.
There you go.
But there's a Billy out there who's offended. So I just thought it would be better for you to carry that burden.
Okay.
I'm a giver. You don't turn it into a sermon and taking a little shot. Lord, help my wife to do a better job when she's organizing her closet. Don't do that. But be praying for other things. That is a good reminder for me, too. Perhaps at the top of the list would be our brothers and sisters who are being shellacked overseas. Hey, here's a couple of stories that will shock you not. What? You know what the latest phrase that I've been hearing a lot lately? Sorry, not sorry. Not even a pause. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
There isn't a hint of remorse in it. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
It's not like, sorry, but I... No. Sorry, not sorry. This is not going to shock you. This is not going to knock you over. But it is a reminder that besmirching that is taking place by some people because the media loves to report stories like this. Headline, right-wing preacher. All right, what do you think of when you hear right-wing? Okay, first of all, it's like a political term, but they're conflated these days because we evangelicals are basically known as political beings. Right-wing preacher cooks up the most bonkers plea yet for a private jet. Well, let's just see what he's got up his sleeve this time. Right-wing televangelist Kenneth Copeland is begging viewers to send him cash to support his private jet so he won't have to deal with coronavirus vaccine mandates to travel, which he called the Mark of the Beast. I'm not shocked that he wouldn't understand what the Mark of the Beast is, but if you recall, it's found in Revelation 13, I think around verse 6. It has nothing to do with an injection. I'm not saying get the jab. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with the injection. If that's been a concern of yours, I don't think it needs to be. There is a complicity that happens with the Mark of the Beast. And that complicity is, I do not follow Jesus. I follow Antichrist. Boink, you get the mark. Whatever it is, the chip, the tattoo, the ankle bracelet, whatever it is. It's because you've said, I don't want Jesus. I want to follow darkness. And then you get marked. That's why it's the mark of the beast. And until the government says, by taking the jab, you will be denouncing Jesus Christ and pledging your allegiance to Joe Biden, I don't think it qualifies for the mark of the beast. Not surprised that Pilot Copeland would get that wrong. Made the claim, would you believe this, during his Victory-thon fundraiser. Well, there's a shocker for you. So that he doesn't have to deal with the coronavirus mandate. To the best of my knowledge, there isn't an airline that's saying you can't fly without a vaccine, is there? Have you heard anything, Jimmy?
I have not.
I haven't either. I know that they're doing the mask business, but they aren't doing this yet.
No.
Well, maybe he's just planning for the future.
Doesn't he already have multiple planes?
Yes.
He needs more.
I know. He's got a whole hangar full of them.
He can fly in more than one at a time.
He owns an airport on his property. Story number two. This is from Indy100.com. I doubt that it is a Christian publication. Could be wrong. The other one, by the way, was from Print Friendly. Oh, that doesn't tell me. Oh, well, there you go. HuffPost. See? They love seeing this stuff, which is why I wouldn't make it the totality of everything that we say or think about or preach, but regularly saying to people, these people who are telling you that the gospel is about prosperity, run from them. We don't associate with that. Isn't the gospel. The gospel is better than money. Evangelical pastor claims that the reason Jesus hasn't returned is because people aren't donating enough money to his ministry, apparently, in particular. This would be the Ragin' Cajun. I think that's what he calls himself. Jesse Duplantis. Quote, I honestly believe this. The reason why you didn't know that we actually had the sound for this, did you?
Sounds just like
I honestly believe this. The reason why Jesus hasn't come is because I think I just combined Copeland and Duplantis. I honestly believe, Friel, move along. I honestly believe this. The reason why Jesus hasn't come is because people are not given the way God told them to give. When you understand this, you can speed up the time. That's right. You and I are going to move the cosmic clock by giving more money to this preacher. The day of judgment hasn't been fixed by God. No, we're setting the timetable. It's on our schedule based on how much we give to him. Later on in the show, Duplantis further explained why if everyone called the number listed at the bottom of the screen to donate, God the Father would say, Jesus, go get him. Oh. He would have been a decent stand-up comedian. Decent. Not A-level. Not the Catskills, but might be able to scratch together a living. Because you see, he wants us to see as much as we want to see him. Okay, there you go. He wants to see us as much as we want to see him. There's your longing God, just hoping that he gets to spend some time with us someday. I wonder if we've forgotten about the doctrine of, I don't know, omnipresence and omniscience.
But the wad of money in our pocket is preventing it.
That is correct. Now you're catching on, yeah. Jimmy. Because, you see, he wants to see us as much as we want to see him. And so what is hindering all these things is because people are not doing in the financial realm, because we're living in an economic world, what God's called them to do. Wow. Now, there's a reasonable chance somebody out of the tens and tens of people listening to this would say, you're being mean. Do you know what I think is mean? Threatening people that if they don't give, Jesus won't come back. And you're not being an obedient Christian because you are not funneling enough money through his ministry. And by the way, I do believe Jesse owns jets also. Maybe just one. Maybe. That's mean. Bilking people out of hundreds of millions, if not to date, billions of dollars. That's mean. This is Wretched Radio. If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread his gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Chances are pretty good you love Dr. John MacArthur's Master Seminary in Los Angeles, California, because they equip men to rightly divide the word of truth. But here's the replication strategy. The men from overseas come to Los Angeles, they get equipped, and then they return to their home country to start up a little mini Master Seminary.
All of these guys that are doing this, and there are 100 of our missionaries out there now doing this kind of training, they all come from the Master Seminary. And as a result of that, their theology is solid, sound. It's the same. So there's a unity to all of this. They take basically what they experienced in training at the Master Seminary and Grace Community Church. They train pastors the way they were trained, and they train them to handle the Word of God accurately.
Amazing. Would you please consider sponsoring your own seminary? You can learn more at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle John wrote a third epistle, commending Christians who were walking in the truth and showing love by their hospitality. He warned against a selfish and diversive man, whom he criticized publicly, specifically, and by name. As you continue to walk in the truth, take care to show hospitality to good teachers and avoid bad teachers. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, let's talk about your kids. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, it is not too late for you. I know you have teenagers. I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a document that is going to help you be a better parent.
I can't wait.
Four phrases that you need to stop telling your kids, says a neuroscientist. Here's how the most successful parents teach self-discipline. isn't it amazing? You use the word scientist in a headline. You win. We are living in an era of scientism. Mrs. Friel was showing me an article she stumbled onto. This has to do with a tsunami that might happen at such a cataclysmic degree that the East Coast of America could be wiped out. Scientists say that is they are our go-to people, aren't they? And before anybody concludes, you're anti-science. No, I'm not anti-science. I'm opposed to neuroscientists telling me how to raise my kids. I'm opposed to scientists making claims that aren't scientific. Global warming. Sorry. Jimmy, are we going to get that cough button pretty soon?
Yeah, it's a order.
Environmentalist movement.
Something sorry. In your throat.
Hey, speaking of the environmentalist movement, not going to do this today. Road Trip to Truth Season 2 actually tackles environmentalism as a religion. It's really good. Because when you see it, you're going to flip. This kid is, John Fabares is out on the campus, and he starts talking to him about the green movement. And John started saying things like, well, you know, it comparatively, it's very similar to a religious system. And he starts listing all of the ways that there are laws that you need to follow, how many trees, how many carbon out footprint you can leave. And then how's about the way you atone for your sins, carbon credits? How's about the high priests of the religion, Al Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, etc.? And it's even apocalyptic. And so this kid, it hurt when it was done. He goes, you know what I think? I think environmental is my religion. Oh, okay. Well, at least we help clarify your thinking. Road Trip to Truth, Season 2. It will be available October the 1. Here are the neuroscientist parenting experts and author of The Self-Driven Child. Ah, The Self-Driven Child. I know where they drive themselves, right into a ditch. Because their hearts are deceitful and wicked. They're born in iniquity. It is not our job or necessity to teach our kids how to be naughty. They've got it down pat. It's being obedient that's the tricky part. And please note, you are not doing your son or daughter a whole lot of favors if you're not teaching them about obedience and submission to God. If you don't, having them submit to you later on when they're a teenager, rots a ruck with that. If you don't teach your kid to submit, you better submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and lickety split. Do we expect them to submit to their teachers, the principal, their boss, the government? Nope. Submission is a big deal. Ted Tripp's book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Ted said the first duty, you got to teach them to submit. First duty. Not according to these folks. Number one thing you shouldn't say as a parent. Jimmy, take some notes.
I'm
if
doing
you
it.
Don't work hard now, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Don't say that. Here's why. Instilling fear is one of the least effective ways to spark intrinsic motivation in kids. In fact, it's detrimental. Each time they're reminded of how important it is that they do better, they become more stressed and sometimes avoidant. So don't tell your kids about reality. If you don't work hard now, you're going to have a hard life. And I can say that because the Bible says that. That's what happens to the sluggard. The world. This is what you should say instead. I'll just give you the copy of my story when we're done, Jimmy, because okay. I know you're going to want to memorize this.
Absolutely.
You haven't mastered doing blank yet, but you can get better at it. Look how far you've come already. Let me give you an award. Okay, I added the last part, but we pretty much have. Or, yes, doing this is hard, but if you keep practicing, you'll have more confidence that you can face future challenges like this, and you'll feel really good. Now, in the other lane and in the other ditch are the parents who are like, do what you're told because otherwise you're going to feel pain. Okay, we don't present that, but that is a reality, is it not? That if we do not live rightly, life goes hard. It is what I believe are the spiritual, metaphysical laws of the universe. Be a naughty kid, you will reap what you have sown. This method. I know this class has been difficult, but I love that you're working hard at baseball. Oh, okay. And I'm confident you'll be able to work as hard in class if you put in the same amount of effort. But don't tell them. Whatever you do, don't tell them. If you don't work hard right now, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. I'm just telling you. Number two, don't say it's my job to keep you safe. That's right. As kids get older and reach middle or high school, keeping them safe is a job we really can't do successfully. So give them hypodermic needles and send them on their way. Tell them not to catch a disease with a dirty needle. It's the best you can do. It's our job to keep them safe. Absolutely. Even when they're teenagers. No, especially when they're teenagers.
Especially.
Because a kid will do something dopey as a toddler and feel some physical pain, but they biff it when they're a teenager. It lingers the rest of their days.
I had this conversation this weekend with my son, my middle son, who's 15 going on 30. And
I was wondering which way you were going to go. Yeah,
but I told him, I said, it's my job to keep you safe. I said that exact. But whoa. But I said, not only from everything else out in the world, my job is to keep you safe from yourself.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Because we need to understand what we're capable of. When kids think it's the parents' job to keep them safe and not theirs, they're more apt to behave recklessly, thinking there's a safety net when really there is not. And do you got any neuroscience to support any of this? Any data? Any studies that were actually controllable and consistent? Nothing. Here you go, Jimmy. Maybe you said this weekend, too. I'm punishing you because you have to learn that this behavior is unacceptable. Don't say that. Okay. But that behavior isn't acceptable. And physical pain is a reminder of the pain that is the consequence of sin. And we're commanded to do that because if you don't love your kids, you won't. That's a tough statement from the Bible, isn't it? Which is why we want to be careful that we don't. All right, I'm punishing you because you got to learn that this isn't acceptable. That's not how we parent. Do we teach that? Sure. This is a sin. This is how it violated God's law. This is how it violated the family laws. And as we've discussed, that an infraction of this sort and this level is worthy of physical pain. So that's what we're going to do as a reminder the consequences of sin is eternal pain and that we need a Savior. That's how we teach them this without becoming a neuroscientist or a jerk. Research shows not only does it hurt your relationship with your kid, it's also an ineffective tool for changing behavior. So what they're basically going after is spanking. And there is nothing neuroscience-y about it. But there's plenty the Bible has to say. Jimmy, would you like to know what you're supposed to say?
Please tell me.
If they don't want to hear your opinion, don't force it on them. The goal is to teach, which only happens when they're actually listening. If you communicate respectfully, they'll be more likely to come to you at another time. You're co-parenting the kid. What is the point of parenting? Seriously, we can't bring any wisdom to a kid. And finally this, Jimmy.
Lay it on me.
Every Christian parent's going to go, what? You spend too much time on your phone. Don't say that. The problem is it's not respectful of the way of a kid inhabits their social world that looks much different than ours did. Yeah, and you're spending too much time on your phone. Whatever. Social media and gaming are versions of the note passing and arcade visits that were so instrumental in our youth. I know some kids who went to the arcade. They didn't spend 16 hours a day there, every day, underneath the covers, constantly. Note passing? Yeah, I think I did that. Last time I did that was third grade. And I think I got in trouble for it and sent to the principal's office because of it, which probably would be a crime. Instead, increase your influenceability, showing interest in what interests them. Ask them about the games they play, people they follow, shows they watch, books they read, and partake with them. Power struggles have no winners long term. Let's reject neuroscience and do it, you know, God's way. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.